the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday and happy opening day, Colonial. You bet. It's opening day at Colonial Downs. We'll check in down there a couple different times this morning and looking forward to it. Jill Byrne is going to join us as well as Jessica Paquette. It's also a good morning for Phasic Tipton, the July sale, and the racing age portion comes today ahead of tomorrow's first round of yearlings. It feels like we just finished the two-year-old season, which, you know, June, I guess we did. But here come the yearlings, and we'll get, a report, if not today, then tomorrow. And let me say, nice to be home. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. Our two-week odyssey, Tina and I, comes to an end, and it really was about as perfect a vacation. I think I hinted that we did more when it came to the drive than we probably bargained for, you know, in terms of packing it all in. In fact, quite a few people commented, it's like, were you driving a 100 between stops? And with Tina at the wheel, yes, there's distinct possibility that we're rolling along at least in the high 80s. Of course, when you're out on those big stretches on that, the sections when you're on I-40, when you can't ride on 66, the speed limit in some places, where were we? The speed limit was up to 80 in spots. You know, so Tina tested. She tested every every radar device, I think. We didn't get stopped. We did very well. So nice to be home, and a quick turnaround here the next 72 hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, ahead of opening day at Saratoga. And it is, Hammer alluded to it if you were listening to the replay. The fact that Del Mar is not open yet is unusual. I wouldn't say it's unbalancing, but it is different, right? Usually we anticipate, Wednesday, a lot of times Del Mar will be open this week. So they're back a little bit, and Saratoga gets, you know, the full attention. And in fact, speaking of which, I one of the things I did this morning and in getting ready, I hadn't given, too much attention yet to the Thursday and Friday cards, but they're ready, and stakes action and a first look at the highly anticipated Wilson Chute that is certainly going to be under heavy scrutiny, I think. Is that a fair way to characterize the new configuration? Yeah, the Bruce Johnstone Wilson Chute. Drew and I, the first stake actually of the meet is going to come on this new configuration, and I know everybody, and I'm sure this will come up plenty. Everybody talking about the use in the 90. It's not the same. It's a much more forgiving, or at least a more, what do we say? Not gradual, but a better way of approaching a quasi one turn mile. It's a turn in three quarters. Is that fair? We'll get plenty of thoughts, and I'm sure some of the horsemen will have thoughts, and we'll talk to riders, and we'll do everything that we do when it comes to Saratoga, the graded stake, of course, the Schuylerville, and the two-year-old fillies, mostly, you know, first time, first out of wins. There is a maiden involved, Mark Cassie, with Gary Barber's Janis Joplin. And this one, actually, a Virginia Craft Pace and California Chrome filly out of an Archmare that already made one start and was third. That came at Churchill. Everybody else was a first-out winner in this group, in the Schuylerville. So we get started, and we'll start to look ahead. It'll be hard not to ask questions of visiting horsemen. In fact, Kenny McPeak is going to join us first this morning, and we'll probably look ahead the Friday action, the Forbidden Apple, the Grade 3 Turf Mile that starts that division's action, and also the Turf Sprinters, the Coronation Cup. And we got two-year-olds, we got state-bred two-year-olds, we got everything. Saratoga on your horizon, and people arriving. I saw lots of tweeting. I must say, I don't understand. Maybe I missed the original origin of the Twin Bridges fascination. I think I've said this before. The Twin Bridges. There's, I actually thought that our neighbor has that doesn't utilize municipal trash hauling. They've got a these days you got an option, the contract, sir, and there happens to be a contract company called Twin Bridges, and they've got sort of a line drawing of the Twin Bridges on the refuse cans, on those, you know, it's the automatic machines that scoop up and you know, with the prongs and the. So I toyed with taking a picture of the side of the garbage can. The Twin Bridges, here it is. Saratoga season. Pretty funny. Speaking of Kenny McPeak, let's get in a little bit to the weekend recapping. And we got more recapping. I couldn't fit everything in on Thursday and Friday. Thanks, of course, to everybody. Eric Hallstrom and the team at Horseshoe Indianapolis. And they had a fabulous day on Saturday. We had to press on because we had a flight home from Chicago. So we couldn't stay for Saturday. But they had a terrific day, and we'll go through all of that. And this should mention, of course, that you had the very anticipated Interstate Daydream win for Staten Fleury and Brad Cox with Florent Giroux in the Oaks, and in the Derby, the Actuator, as you know, hinted, but you know, it was such a nice group that, and there were so many potential, you know, emergent colts that were participating, you know, King Ottoman, Best Actor ran well, right? Who ended up as second choice. Rattle and Roll, we'll get Kenny's thoughts about that, because Rattle and Roll, off the 7 days, did not lift a hoof. I mean, just sort of just trailed and never really, you know, never really mounted much of a, at all. I mean, just it just sort of trailed, and there wasn't a pace really to run at, but didn't stop Best Actor and King Ottoman from, you know, making advances. Best Actor closest to Actuator, you know, who took over from Trademark, and you know, came home well under James Graham. So Michael W. and Black Type Thoroughbreds, they win, and a nice set of partners there. We'll talk to Michael soon enough, if not later this morning. And the Bodemeister Colt, originally bred by Winstar. So, Actuator, out of an Indian Charlie mare. Haven't seen a figure yet, you know. That may have changed since I looked earlier this morning. But there was no figure yesterday for the Indiana races. So we'll keep an eye on that. Not sure what the question was. Ivar, of course, as well, we should mention. And it seems like it was foolhardy to try to beat Paulo Lobo in the Schuster. He's so good off the layoff and gave you the stats. And, I mean, Ivar isn't going to contribute to the ROI, but he starts the season well. So that was kind of ended up in retrospect, you know, being an obvious place. Let's get back to Belmont and McPeak and Classic Causeway, and there was, of course, the administrative scratch involving Emmanuel that is actually, you know, going to have to be discussed, and hoping that we can be joined by Dr. Palmer. Reached out to Scott, and I wouldn't mind if he could, you know, provide some of the clarification, because as always, whenever there's a situation like this, the confusion involved in what the, you know, what the rules are, in this case, you know, special rules over and above the regular restrictions on non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Well, three applications in a span, and you know, Todd Pletcher taking full responsibility. He was a little, you could tell what he talked to Dave Greinig, you know, felt that this was kind of a, you know, kind of a trip up that was clearly avoidable, but it was avoidable, as he said, in a better understanding of what those extra layer of rules involved. And so we'll explain that. The other thing, whenever there's a situation like this, one more time, a clarification between what the letters NYRA stand for, the New York Racing Association, which is a racetrack operator, and then what the letters NYGC stand for. That's New York Gaming Commission. That's a regulatory agency. They're not the same thing. They're two different things. It's astounding how any time there's any confusion or anything that requires a modicum of comprehension, reading comprehension, and an effort to understand things, it amazes me that public just refuses. A certain segment of the population just either refuses, whether it's I don't know, whether it's willful ignorance of whose responsibility is what. It's amazing. The result of, in part, of Emmanuel not being part of that race on Saturday in the Belmont Derby is a pace factor was absent, one of the potential pace factors, and that was only going to potentially aid Classic Causeway's effort going the mile and a quarter on the turf. And I got to tell you, the way I watched the race, and I mean, in terms of betting interest, I can tell you that, you know, I thought as they were making their way, I'm just looking for the, what do I do with the charting here? There we go. That's Saratoga. Here it is. As the race was unfolding, the horse that I thought had a real chance in there was Royal Patronage. And the the dialogue or the suggestion that, Emmanuel would have made all the difference and Classic Causeway couldn't possibly have wired. I don't know about that. Royal Patronage was close at hand throughout the early stages of this Belmont Derby, was he not? What was going to be any different? I mean, unless you thought that Arad Ortiz, who's not known for being aggressive and hyper forward with mounts, I don't buy that Emmanuel's presence guarantees that Classic Causeway doesn't wire this field. I'm sorry, not the way they came off the turn. And Royal Patronage, what was his excuse exactly? 23-2, 48 flat, 112, 136 for the mile. If good enough, he should have been able to stay with Classic Causeway and challenge him in the stretch. Instead, he ended up fifth. He didn't completely collapse. He got beat, about a length and three quarters. But Classic Causeway scoots away off the turn. And Leperoux, who we've said before, is terrific on the front end. Terrific. And I'm sure Kenny, we're going to talk to Kenny in 5 minutes. I'm sure Kenny will laud Leperoux's handling. I'm just not convinced that Emmanuel's presence was going to make any difference, not the way Classic Causeway won this race. I thought he was tremendous. I certainly, even when Emmanuel fell out, I thought, well, all right. But you just had to figure somebody else was going to take up the chase and be a pace presence. And Royal Patronage was. I going a mile and a quarter, these are just kind of average. These are level, average, even fractions. They it's not like they went, 114 and 23-2, 48, 112, nice even fractions. And, Classic Causeway had plenty left. So a big win. And you have to certainly, after, the consternation involving the move of Classic Causeway away from Brian Lynch and ownership and Lynch seemed kind of at loggerheads over his handling. And, because it was pretty evident that Brian did not want to run in the Derby. And anxious to hear from Kenny, what his thoughts were and how he evaluated and took this shot. It's a huge win for a very nicely bred Giants Causeway colt, and it's a big win, obviously. And Kenny had a nice weekend. I suppose the Rock and Roll was a bit of a disappointment, clearly, but had other wins. He won the Mary Holman George on the Indiana card. He won the graded Oaks at Prairie Meadows, right? Butterbean, the Klimt. Yeah, with Glenn Corbett. That's very cool. All right, so Kenny is coming up momentarily. A couple of other quick survey, and Mig will be with us at 10, and we will talk to Jill Byrne in this hour, too, as we kick off the Colonial coverage. Four stakes at Colonial today to get things going. A very attractive opening day card in the first few cards. And they should have a terrific meet. I mean, they've got a packed backstretch and barn area. So they've got Michelle Lovell. That guarantees a great meet. It's the summer of Lovell. The rest of the Saturday action when it came to Belmont and the Oaks and McCulloch, you're always trying to find a price, no matter how these races look. And I thought maybe Brendan Walsh with New Year's Eve, but she kind of languished and got involved way too late. But McCulloch was I made McCulloch the second choice, and this is an important, not just another important grade one win for Chad, but there's a lot of emotion tied to this, tied to McCulloch from a namesake and his longtime office manager, and the fact that it's a Frankel, and it came on Frankel's, on Bobby's birthday. There was all kinds of crazy confluences involved, but McCulloch, just too good for that Oaks group under Rad Ortiz. Dynamic one in that Suburban, early on the card, and nice win for him. He really feels like a real classic trip horse. Rudy Rodriguez has got a nice private purchase, and the fig wasn't big, but Hot Peppers, a Kozan that Michael Dubb nabbed from Ron Spatz, and she wins the victory ride, and that group will look toward the test. A couple of other quick hits as I get ready to reach for Kenny. I'm working the phones today. the Del Cap, Claudio Gonzalez, and Angel Cruz, that Miss Leslie, the painter filly, wins the Delaware handicap, the big cap. And Key Biscayne with a nice upset in the Robert Dick. We'll get through all of that. Tax seems like Danny Gargan's being very clever, kind of easing Tax back into competition. Iowa Derby, I'm looking forward to reaching Kelly Von Hemel. Nice for Kelly Von. Ain't Life Grand. Got a nice fig, too. 98. The Not This Time that wins the Iowa Derby. How about officiating, winning the Cornhusker? Javier Castellano made the trip to Altoona. Iowa, not Pennsylvania. Officiating the Blame wins the Cornhusker. So lots of other results. The Baffert Barn back operating. Bob's name on the training line again. High Connection. Again, not a big fig, but what looks to be a nice three-year-old wins the Los Al Derby. High Connection with Juan Hernandez. Connect Colt. So some of the top line, there you go, from the weekend, and there's plenty more. And we'll talk to Mig in a little bit, too, and flesh out a few things with Rich. And actually, with the yearling sale, I could even, I also got the, when we came back, there's a pile of mail, as always, 2 weeks away. The New York bred, actually, the New York bred yearling sale catalog came, but I haven't seen the open catalog. Huh. That's interesting. I just realized that. I'm looking at I got the July sale. I got the New York bred yearlings, but not the not the big sale. Interesting. Not that the New York bred sale isn't a big sale. Don't get. Don't come at me, as they say, right? All right. Let me reach Kenny before we get too far afield, and we. Looking forward to talking to Kenny and Kenny McPeak with really kind of a Kenny McPeak win when it comes to talking about Classic Causeway winning the Grade One Belmont Derby. Kenny, good morning. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I don't even know where really to start. I kind of tossed out some questions as I was talking about the race recapping the weekend. When you get a horse mid-season like this, it's under the observation of everybody, Ken, and everybody's got their own opinion about what this horse, what it should be doing, what the owners should have been doing. What were your thoughts when approached about taking over Classic Causeway's training?
I didn't think much about it. I mean, it's an honor for people to think of you when a horse of that quality comes around. I mean, I've had more taken away from me than given to me. So, anyway, that happens. You know, look, he's been a lovely horse to be around. They're lovely people. I no problem with the owners whatsoever. I think there's some misconception about how, you know, why the switch and all that stuff. And I don't know all the deep dive details, but it's, it happens in our business. It's happened to me. You know, sometimes you're on the winning side of that. Sometimes you're on the losing, but, it is what it is. And, he's a lovely horse to be around. And I don't know, we had a, how did all this evolve? And training horses is instinct, and you, none of it's black and white. It's all gray. And we were at dinner after the Ohio Derby, and I told, the whole group was there, and this is the first time I'd ever really had a chance to visit with them. And I told them, I said, we were kind of mapping out, we could go to the Haskell, we could go to the West Virginia Derby, we've got the Jim Dandy's on the calendar. There were some decent races out there. And I told him, I said, but, look, being around him and looking at this horse, I said, he's got a foot on him that's huge. He's a big flat-footed horse. And I said, if he takes to the grass, this horse will take you around the world. Because he Giant's Causeway was a good grass horse in his own right. And he ran on dirt as well. And, of course, this horse is run well on dirt. So, but I said, if he'll handle the turf, he'll take y'all anywhere. I mean, there's some fantastic races worldwide. The Arc de Triomphe, but the problem with this colt that I found when we first got him was, he just really wants to, he trains like a complete peach. Every day is a perfect student. Never turns a hair. But when the gate opens for him in horse race, he is bound and determined to be in front the first portion. And to turning back, I thought could really destroy him, because I think if you can't get him to turn off a little bit mentally leaving there, and if you ran him in, let's say we ran him 6 or 7 furlongs, and he didn't turn off going 6 or 7 furlongs, then the next thing you know, you've crushed any chance of him being able to rate going longer again. So I said, we need to stretch him out. And at dinner, they said, well, I told him, I said, you, if this was my horse, if he's doing well, get him on the grass as fast as we can. And they gave me carte blanche to do whatever I wanted to do. And I told him, I said, it's a little aggressive, but, I've been known to do that. Hmm. And if the horse is healthy, we run him. And that's that. And I think there is a little bit of analysis paralysis in our sport, which is bad for the racing secretaries, and it's bad for, and owners, less opportunities to, make money with their horses, and especially if they're healthy. You can't be scared to run them.
Well, and we'll get to that conversation, because, of course, you ran a handful that on short rest, and we'll talk about the Indiana races in a minute. But it scenario, Kenny, and I don't know how many times I've had the opportunity to say to you that you're not concerned about the slings and arrows of Twitter trainers.
A bit of a perfect storm this past weekend, because of the way the calendar fell with a bunch of the horses, and there was all individual reasons why each horse needed to go in those spots. So I don't know, certainly wasn't completely planned, and like I said, more instinct than anything, but I'm a bit bulletproof at this age. I've won enough big ones that they can't, between Sarava and Swiss and even Golden Ticket knocking down a Travers, and he was still eligible for any other thing.
Yep.
You get a bit of a base on balls with some people once you've done that. And, the chief, Alan Jerkins, was one of my favorite people ever, and I got to bond with him when he was still alive and I was much younger. And he told me every day, this isn't black and white. It's in you. And he was the giant killer, because he wasn't scared to run against horses like Secretariat, right?
Yeah.
So, sometimes you just got to go, and what's the old, you can't win one if you're not in one.
Yep.
I think there's a Chris Stapleton song that I love. You I can't remember the lyrics right now, but you got to take a chance.
Yeah, no doubt. And it pays off handsomely here in a million-dollar grade one. And like you say, it opens up a ton of doors. Talk about Julien Leperrew's part in this, because we always like to point out how riders who are thought of as off-the-pace types invariably are terrific on the front end. What kind of conversation did you have with Julien going into this?
Well, it was a bit of an audible at the line of scrimmage, the way it all came together. I wanted him to ride in Indiana. I wanted him to ride Sambleju in that little distaff race in Indiana. I offered him the call in that, and he says, "Oh, no, I'm going to be in New York. I got to ride the Belmont Oaks." And I said, "Well, you open in the Derby?" And he said, "Well, sure." And I said, "Well, you know the horse. You've ridden him." And, of course, his agent was like, "Yeah, cha-ching, yeah, we're on, no problem."
It's unbelievable.
And then as far as giving him instructions, you know, there weren't any. I mean, he knew that. I mean, he and I talked briefly about it well before the race. I said, the horse is real simple. We tried to rate him in the last race. He needs somebody to get him to relax, you know, try to get him to breathe, and don't let him, and Julien doesn't force one away from there anyway. The horse took him there. And I said, then it's just a matter of trying to get him to relax enough so that he can pace himself and keep him in nice rhythm. And Julien's brilliant at that. And so I felt pretty good about it, and disappointed in my other horse's race because we felt like he was going to run real big. But look, you know, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug. So.
Well, you're talking, of course, about Tis the Bomb, and we'll get to him. I mean, obviously with Saratoga ahead and the way in which this Caesars Turf Triple concept lays out, you stay the course, no?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, next spot's just go with Saratoga, same distance, same surface. I'm sure they'll keep an eye on him a little bit closer this time. But once again, he's just tough to catch. He's got such speed that he's going to be real tough to catch. It might take a rabbit to shake him up. But I think he's almost to the point where he'll raid off horses if we needed him to. We've been practicing that. I know Brian tried to teach him that. And like I said, just a lovely horse to be around. And I'm thinking about later in the year or two, you know, there's some cool races worldwide for three-year-olds. So we'll see.
Let's get to a portion of this that I kind of opined to start the show, and the manual from an administrative scratch scenario, and I made the case, Kenny, that for those that are saying, well, if Emmanuel's in there, Classic Causeway doesn't get away. He didn't exactly get away. These weren't soft fractions; they were even fractions. And Royal Patronage and Rosario were keeping close tabs. It's not like there wasn't the presence of another horse, and I'm not convinced that any other pace factor takes a dent out of Classic Causeway on Saturday.
I think if Emmanuel's in there, he would have beat him anyway.
There you go. I'm not. I mean, I understand the thinking, but he
Emmanuel went 51 in a 5 or 6 horse field in the Pennine Ridge. I mean, that was, you know, who knows the depth of that. I mean, Giants or Classic Causeway's been running in 10, 12 horse fields, 20 horse fields. I mean, it's a little bit different. But anyway, I guess I'm getting cocky with him now.
But. Well, and Kenny, the case also has to be, I mean, the case can be made, or at least the factor included, that, you know, a horse with this kind of speed on dirt, that's a different. That's different than you know, turf horses, turf setting pace types.
Yeah, completely. You know, like the most of those turf races, they just sit back and they wait. But his natural speed's a big asset in these, and like I said, they're not going to overlook him. Nick, we got lucky in the sense that they probably overlooked him, and they didn't. Everybody thought he'd back up, I suppose, and. But he still ran sub 2 minute mile and a quarter. Yep. So, you know, he still proved himself, you know, that he could go that far. And I got some fun. There's some fun races on the calendar. What about the third leg of the English Triple Crown in Doncaster? What about the, there's a couple races in Japan that are seven figures, and one of them's $3 million for straight three-year-olds.
Well, Kenny, I will not pass judgment on this. I think we do need to craft a some sort of a term to apply to these suggestions. I don't know if it's a ward-edemic, or I not that you haven't.
Well, the Japanese have been coming over taking our money.
Maybe
we need to go take some of theirs.
All right, I will leave that. I will
I'm
leave
just
that to you.
Fun. No, I'm just having fun with it. I love the adventure of it all.
Sure,
I really do. I love it. I mean, it's so much fun, and by God, to get paid to do something like this, it's ridiculous.
Well, let's also touch on what your thoughts are about Tiz the Bomb and where to go with him. How do you regroup with him?
You know what? He coughed up a little mucus post-race, and I think it was an excuse, and Dylan said he never really got on track, but I do think he had him really maybe too far back, certainly to try to run down Classic Causeway. But we'll regroup with him. I'm already kind of planning out, do I go in the Houghton Museum of Racing Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
the Saratoga Derby. You could run right back against Classic Causeway, and then there's a Kentucky Downs race that I think is going to be his end of season, perfect timing. And there's also the Virginia Derby.
Yep.
You know, that's $300,000, but I'd probably lean towards the Dueling Grounds Derby. But those are the races that I'm pointing him towards as the season goes. And so, like I said, we've got some time to regroup with him. He'll be fine. And he's a much better horse than he performed Saturday.
Let's talk about Indiana, and the day started nicely. You mentioned Sembla Just, and this a Shalah filly, a four-year-old, and Catalyst Stable, Paul Greenberg, Magdalena, Patty Slevin, and Brian Hernandez Jr. And if people didn't see this, this was an exciting race. And Semble just gets up and decisions Diodoro and Davy Cohen with lovely ride. Talk about this filly.
Well, I bought her in the yearling sale in France. It's the first time I ever went the Arcana sale, and I'm going to be attending that one again this summer. And she has been a good hard knocking filly. She, ironically enough, she's a Irish bred, bought in France, hates the grass, and she's significantly better on the dirt. And Shala, she might be getting to be one of his better foals, but he was an extremely talented horse, but she's really kind of gotten in a nice rhythm. And I wheeled her back on quick rest, mm-hmm. because we want to keep her. Rick Greenberg's the principal on her, and Rick's a fantastic guy, and I've had horses for Rick for years now. And he likes to keep the good ones as broodmares, and he's always said, I want to keep her as a broodmare because she's got a nice female family. And I said, well, we need to get black type on this filly. And that race, I felt like the timing, and there weren't any big bears in it. And I told him, I said, well, it's back quick, but we will probably look pretty hard at it. I'm going to enter, and if she's doing well, we'll go. And of course, the rest is history. And he's had a couple of good stakes wins this year with Dash Attack as well.
Oh yeah,
and Rick's had a good season. So, but a lovely filly, beautiful filly, and now I got to figure out an encore for her.
Well, that's an interesting story about the pedigree out of a High Chaparral mare too. So very funny that just you know you don't know until they go out there and run on the respective surfaces. Let's then get to the boys and We'll do this in order. You got a nice effort from Silverleaf. You got to be thrilled with her performance in the Indiana Oaks.
You know, that filly's really coming together, and that's another one we were looking for black type with. And she's out of a deputy minister mare, which I'm crazy about. And she got a run by her stable mate, Runaway Wife, for Paul. That's Paul Fireman's filly, and both fillies we wanted black type on, and I think it was seven horse field, and of course there was the one bear in there that ultimately won the race. But you got black type, graded black type on two nice fillies. It increases their long-term value, and we own the mare, and we have a half-brother to Runaway Wife.
Wow.
That's actually in the sale over here at Phasic Tipton tomorrow. So there was a lot of motivation there, and both fillies were coming off big runs. And it's not only do they make a few dollars in the race, but they've increased the residual value. And I do think there's a lot to be said about doing that.
Well, Runaway Wife certainly gave Interstate Daydream, I think, all she could handle. It was only in the last, 150 yards, really, that Interstate Daydream kind of shrugged her and moved on to win by a couple of open lengths. But Runaway Wife absolutely tested her from the top of the stretch, and she was with Patna. I thought that 63 Caliber of Amos, I mean, if you were looking for horses to build up off of Interstate Daydream, who ended up going off at 30 cents on the dollar. First time stake opportunities for both Runaway Wife and Silverleaf, and they both come away with black type. That gets us to Rattle and Roll, Kenny, who some thoughts here about he really just did not seem involved at all.
He got mugged leaving the gate.
Well, yeah.
He got mugged leaving the gate. Brian lost his iron when they chopped him from both angles, and when he lost his iron, it took him an eighth of a mile or more to get the iron back in, and by that time he was disconnected. So that horse should have won by five. And that's just not something that you have any control over, and it is what it is, and we were disappointed. But he seems to be okay coming out of the race, but just bad luck. And I know I ran him back quick, but we didn't work him going into that last race, and he did that for fun, and he was doing well, and just like I said, really
lucky.
It happens.
Where do you take him from here? You've got a zillion choices.
No, probably the St. Louis Derby.
Okay.
We're going to go to the Fairmont race. Nice. I think he's a really good Midwest type. I don't see him being a Traverse horse, and I don't see him being certainly not a Haskell or even Jim Dandy. And I think if we keep him in some decent spots, I think we can continue to have a lot of fun with him. And but I think St. Louis Derby's ideal, and then maybe the Oklahoma Derby later in the year. Those are probable next two spots for him if everything goes okay.
Sounds like a good path of moderate resistance. Why not? Let's talk about, speaking of fun, you were obviously delighted with Butterbean's win in the Iowa Oaks later on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Butterbean's was named after a fairy, and everybody thinks it's a boxer, but my daughter named her, and that filly has been an absolute hoot for our family, and people love the name. And she's a good, solid filly. I bought her and Silverleaf were the last two yearlings that I bought out of the Keeneland September sale that year. And I gave $22,000 for Butterbean, I think, and $30,000 for Silverleaf. And so anytime you can get that kind of ROI, I love the way Glenn Corbett rides her. Brian Hernandez has kind of kept her closer to the pace, and she's run well, but not like she has in those races where Glenn just lets her drop back and lope along and then, shoots her out of a cannon the last 3/8. And I think she really likes that style. So proud of the job he did. And I don't know where we go with her. We might go to the Alabama with her.
Interesting. She's a Klimt out of a Johannesburg mayor. And if you're suggesting Alabama and the mile and a quarter for fillies, you like, you know, you must like the way she trains, and she must show some long-windedness.
Yeah, I think she'll go on. My other option would be the Monmouth Oaks. That's a good spot, although we may take Runaway Wife there. And trying to think if there's some other good three-year-old filly stakes on the calendar right now. But she's just really proud of her. Yeah, she's
nice.
Really come around, done good.
Nice. There's actually a Woodgate bred, Magdalena and William Klimausch. Pronounce Bill's last name. Klimshowski.
You know, those are, her and Silverleaf are both those Magdalena partnership horses.
Right.
And that's when I go to a sale and I fish around. And if I see a horse I really that I like on the physicals, I buy it. And then we bring people in as partners, and we try to find the good horse for the modest prices. And there's been a pretty good list of them over the years. I mean, we're Magdalena's been partnered in on some top ones. I mean, Eskimo Kisses was a partnership. I can't remember them all. It's actually getting a really long list, and we're doing more of those. I'm actually bought two horses out of Argentina and two out of Brazil that we're doing Magdalena partnerships. And those are found on our Peak Racing website. But it's a really great way for somebody that's never played the game to get in with a minimal amount of risk and the possibility of getting a good horse. And we also know that not all of them work out, and some horses end up being claimers and don't make the races, and that happens. But when you get a good one and you can share it with a group of people, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a good way to enter the sport and learn a little bit as you go.
You know, it's very interesting about Butterbean. You know, Klimt has ended up in Turkey, and yet Woodgate cleverly took letting go. They must have been happy with the way Butterbean looked as a young horse, because they went back to Klimt. And so as a result, there's a filly, a full sister, that's out there as a yearling, and you made that one valuable.
Yeah, I ran into some people at the sale yesterday, and they were pushing, go to Alabama, go to the Alabama. That's not a terrible idea. I mean, so we'll see.
All right. Well, Kenny, a couple of things as well. After as nice a Saturday as an outfit can have, winning you know, a grade one and a grade three and a listed stake at three different race courses. You also actually, I see, broke a maiden at Ellis yesterday, honed in the first yesterday. This a Sharp Azteca, who's suddenly got, I think, nine winners already as a stallion. Tell us about Honed.
You know, I don't think he was about 70-75% prepared for the race. I tend to try to not overcook one first time out, and I'm not known for first time outers, but he, it was a short field, and he, very professional, and he nosed him out late. But that horse is going to, I think you're going to see him, he may show up in the sapling to Monmouth, and then they've ridden the cradle again this year.
Oh, good.
At the former River Downs or Belterra. I think that's a good race for him. And I got a bunch of two-year-olds that I'm getting ready to uncork. So we're just starting to get in the rhythm with our young horses, and it's usually August. I think we own the patent on the first mile race at Ellis, so we've won that quite a few times.
I love it.
But
well,
yeah, I got a bunch of young horses that are going to be. This might be a better crop than the 3-year-olds I've got. Scary.
Well, then let's talk about it a little bit, because Saratoga, of course, opening on Thursday, and you're ready. You've got Lady Pucci, who's going to operate in the eighth race on opening day. You've got maidens as well at Ellis coming up. On Friday, you got a pair, CC Cruise Control and Lady Squared. Give us a little bit of a summer preview, Kenny, and we can use this as the McPeak 2-year-old inventory check.
Both the 2-year-old fillies at Ellis are locked and loaded. They'll run big, and then that's Lady Squared and CC's Cruise Control, and then Lady Pookie. That race, I knew that race was going to come up tough. I think the other day an allowance race at Saratoga is like a stake anyway. I was surprised. I think she's morning line 15-1, but she run good. She's doing good. Shipped in there last night, and then beyond that, we've got some other young horses that are coming together to be ready to run in the next month or so. And I'm working the Phasic, so I'm actually headed to Phasic as we speak.
Sure.
And then working that Phasic sale tomorrow. I've got a lot of people be active there, and then I'll be at Saratoga Thursday morning.
On the sale front, what has caught your eye so far? You got some first crop stallions, obviously, that'll be available as the first yearlings go through the ring. Anything that's caught your eye so far?
Well, I can't give that away right yet because bid on first.
Well,
there's some good first crop stallions over there. We saw quite a few Matolis. I saw the stallion Enticed is interesting. Seems like there's some pretty good fillies by him. And then I'm trying to think also some Vino Rossis that really look good, impressive. I'm sure I could list some others, but it's a we always enjoy working this auction. I think Phasic does a great job. Summer Front colt we're going to probably chase. There's a Gun Runner colt that looks the part. Kent Arrows filly. But yeah, we're working it. It's my MO, and love this auction. And fortunately, my guys were out there, knocked down a bunch of big winners, and get everybody excited for the sale tomorrow.
Well, are you doing anything today, or of the horse the racing age? Anything of interest in there?
Nah, it's really not my MO. I mean, I really stick to the young horses, and I didn't work a single 2-year-old in training sale this year. I don't really like them.
Yep.
I feel like that if I get the right physical out of the yearling sale and we bring them along under, their timing as opposed to trying to make a short breeze, fast breeze at auction, I think sometimes it's detrimental, but that's just an opinion. And but the yearlings, I love them, and you can see a whole lot over there that they've developed enough to be able to see how they may move. And I'll be working a lot of auctions this year. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to work on this one. I'm going to the French sale. I'm going to go to the obviously Saratoga, New York, and then I'm going to go to the Irish sale at Goff's, which we bought 5 there last year. And then I might work the Tattersall sale as well as Keeneland. And so, it's a regroup time, and you got to recruit in those kind of horses. So Steve Bick calls you every year. If you don't have those kind of horses, Steve Bick's never calling you.
I love it. Kenny, a couple of quick checks, too. Smile Happy, Cocktail Moments, Creative Minister. Where are you with everybody?
You want the bad or the good first. I'm not real happy, or we're not happy with Smile Happy right now. I mean, he's up at Saratoga, but he was starting off a little stiff, and there wasn't any reason for it. Because we gave him a little bit of a break after the Derby, 6 weeks, but he's tweaked a little something behind, and I've told the Mackin family of Lucky Seven that, look, we're just going to take our time with him, and I told my staff not to train him till I got up there because I want to watch him myself, but I think it's just a little bit of a little pulled muscle on a hip or in a hind quarter or something like that. It's nothing major, but so he's not really on any forward motion, and then Creative Minister had a little bit of 3-week in between the Belmont race and his first Breeze back, and he's had a couple of works, and he's pointed towards the Curlin because he's not a stakes winner. I think that's an ideal spot for him. And then, Cocktail Moments really threw a stinker at Churchill in her last race, and we turned her out for a short reprieve, and she's at Saratoga also, and she'll probably be pointed towards a other than at some point, someplace, whether she makes Saratoga, she should, or we bring her back in to Churchill and Keeneland in the fall. But she's a beautiful filly and got a lot of talent. And like I said, just through a race that kind of was a head scratcher, we thought she'd win. And but her Ashland second, you know, they can't take that away from her. She's multiple stakes placed, but she hadn't won one, so we've got some work to do on her.
There's a three-year-old, Kenny, that broke through that I'm curious about. That Medaglia d'Oro colt, Wolf County, where's he going to turn up next?
You know, we really like him.
Yeah,
we really do. You know, I slipped him in for 50 because he was off form when we got him. And he ran respectable because I thought he needed to really figure it out. He was second, and they didn't claim him. And then we came back in a other than at a it was a mile and an eighth, and he ran like a good horse, and he's training like a good horse right now. I trained his mother, Dawn Raid.
Yeah.
And I've had horses for Joe Murphy, and his dad gave me the first horse that I ever trained that made over 100,000 racing over 35 years ago. Can you believe that? I mean, so I've had horses for Joe and his dad for that long, and I don't know if that makes me old or experienced. But I'm really proud. I'm really proud to still be working for him and his dad, and his dad's passed away. But and a great guy, but Joe. He keeps a horse here or there with me, and he doesn't have a big outfit. He bred Exaggerator, so that's there's some page there. That colt, Wolf County, might very well end up being the stake horse. We've got to figure out how to get him to those, and I think he's only going to improve.
Kenny, you got a loaded wagon, obviously, and we'll delve into the two-year-olds with you as the summer progresses. I appreciate it. Congratulations to the Kentucky West partners involved with Classic Causeway getting a big win that he hinted at in different ways, and then the action everywhere, Indiana, Prairie Meadows, Ellis, etc. Continued success. Good luck at the sale tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Kenny McPeak, everybody, and you
see
can follow. You go. See you Thursday at Saratoga. Kenny McPeak.
Right.
There we go. Let's take a top of the hour break. You can look forward to Jill Byrne and Rich Migliori coming up here in the next 45 minutes. Jill's going to join us first, and much more ahead at the races, which is nice. It's nice. But we're only going to get what this 3-day break essentially before things get serious again, and we do have another trip. We've got Monmouth, right? We got to get ready for Haskell next week, right away, right? Yeah, and Colonial. We're going to the Colonial Cup, and we're going to be. On the Outer Banks in Maryland, we're going to see the pony swim. How about the show coming to you live from the pony swim? That'll be different. It's going to be a great summer. And it's ready to get started. We're an hour in. A lot to do yet. A lot more recapping. Sale, too. I got to see about a sale preview. All right, stay with us. Hour two coming up. Jill Byrne joins us next from Colonial on opening day.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slowdown Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirm Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why in the past decade has BRL Equine become the premier